It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Live Fire Media Show. I'm Kawaka 47 with the always entertaining Hunter Elliott from RangeHot.com. Join us as we talk about guns, gear, games, movies, and whatever the hell else comes to mind.
How about
and cats, because Hunter's a creepy cat guy. Oh God. Cat blood. That's disgusting.
It's clean.
I have nothing against cats. I've had a cat in the past, but that's the one thing that's always annoying. They walk by, the tail's up, and you just always have their sphincter every time you look at the cat. You look at their eyes, you look at their asshole. It's like, good
God. Right. Well, that's so you know they ain't got worms.
Oh, is that what? Okay. Cool. That's
right.
I mean, yes, it's a true concern. Make sure your cat doesn't have worms, but
okay. Are we recording for posterity now?
Oh, we're already, this is already legit.
Okay.
So the intro is about cat ass. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
I didn't wash my hands. Look at there, working man.
You're filthy looking. Yeah, working man. What is that?
Right.
What is a working man?
Oh my God! Look how clean they are.
Keyboard commando, baby.
So, I want to start out this podcast with a
no
public service announcement. Okay. Well, now listen, this shit is important, and I need you to take heed.
Okay, I'm listening.
Clean the fucking air filters on your chainsaws. All y'all out there that run a chainsaw, clean the air filter. And I'm yelling. I mean, look at that. I'm yelling because I forgot to.
And what kind of trouble did that give you?
Well, none. But because it's not like. I hear you, brand placement. Can you let me get my PSA before you get all brand placement? I know you got
brand placement, my ass, whatever.
Yeah, gotta get that paper.
Yeah, because we're sponsored by nobody. This is just you and I here, huh?
Correct, but nevertheless.
Fine, instead of brand placement here, I'll pull it out of the koozie if I can. Well, maybe that won't. Never mind, I'm not going to. Air filter, chainsaw, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Clean your damn filter on your chainsaw, air filter. Look at that. I was embarrassed.
Talk about brand placement. Look at your fucking shirt, Mr. Steele.
Well, I mean, I ain't been long got off work. Okay? I mean, I can
hear more brand placement.
Here you go. Here you go. Rock the fuzzy belly.
More brand placement.
Man, I'm sponsored by Steele.
Sponsored where?
Yeah.
Hell, not this.
Yeah, nowhere. Be nice. But.
Yeah, right.
No.
Okay, there you go. PSA understood. Change your air filters and chainsaw. But doesn't that kind of go with all your tools to have like filters and shit? Change those things regularly?
It does.
Furnace filter, car filters. I mean,
yes. But I feel like, Dave, I feel like tools get neglected more so.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
The other day, I was like, we were on a tree job and the log truck was running late. So I was killing time, and so I walked over to my chipper, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to clean the air filter on my chipper, though I just done it like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I'm like, I got to kill some time, so let's just do that. So I popped the air filter out of my chipper. Man, it looked, that thing had been rolled around in the Sahara Desert for a month. I took one in, like I got a leaf blower that we cleaned the stuff up with. You know, you can disassemble it, so you just got a plastic tube about yay big. I stuck that in the air filter and goosed it. And you remember Charlie Brown and Pigpen?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, just, I mean, and then, you know, everybody's on the job and they're looking at me and they're like,
damn, who's this hack?
When is the last time you cleaned an air filter on your damn chipper, man, when it was new?
Right.
So, you know, tools get neglected.
Yeah, tools do.
If it's got a grease fitting on it, grease it. If it's got a filter on it, change it or clean it. Most steel chainsaws, at least the pro models, you can wash these with Dawn, hot soapy water like Dawn. Wash them up, hang them out for a day or two, let them dry, and they're good to go for a while. And I always like to take a dab. So you got a little rubber piece right here. And that's like what makes the airtight seal.
Right.
What I like to do is get a big glob of grease. Like, you know, you got your grease gun, you're greasing the grease fittings. I'll get a big glob of grease on my finger. I like red and tacky grease because I'm kind of red and tacky. And
this is a subtle brand placement.
This is brand hopeful. And I'll smear that grease around this rubber lip here.
Right.
And hey, don't let me lose your interest.
No. I'm actually just making some notes here on something.
Oh, you're writing that down, huh?
Not exactly, but something.
Right. Hold on, my nose is.
I can make notes. Shut the hell up, okay? I can make notes whatever the hell I want.
Is that English?
Eat shit.
So anyway, that's my PSA.
I'm assuming you had two of them there, so you always keep an extra one. So if you get a wash one, you have a fresh one to put in while the other one washes and dries.
So I try to keep 3 to 4 filters per saw.
Per saw. Damn.
Yeah.
That now like a lot.
It is. And okay. They're about $30-$35 a piece. Well, I say 3 to 4. I always have 2 clean filters on the truck.
Right.
And then usually the ones on the saw, because I changed filters and forgot to bring it in the house and clean it for a while. It was riding around the dashboard. And you know how when you look at something for long enough, you can be right in front of your face and you can't see it.
Yeah.
So this bastard was riding around on the dashboard of my dump truck for weeks and weeks and weeks going, "Hey, Hunter, I'm dirty. You need to wash my stinking ass." Okay, but I'm looking at it, and I'm not caring. I'm like, I got another one. I'll do it when I get a chance, when I get around to it. You know what I mean? And then, holy shit, it's been a couple weeks, and I go to look at the filter on my saw, and it's filthy. So I take out the last new one I got that's clean and put it on, and then I'm like, oh, hell, second dirty filter. Sorry, I got sawdust in my nose. Don't try not to pick my nose, but I ain't going to make no promises. So I'm like, second clean filter is now on the saw. So now I got 2 dirty filters riding on the dash. And I'm like, okay, this is a problem. So I pulled them out of the truck today. And when I get off this thing with you, I'm going to go put them in the soak. But I thought this would be a good PSA.
Well, there's my question to you is, yeah, you said you keep that many extra filters with you. How often are you changing filters on job sites? Just when you forget to change it from like end of a day?
I tell you what, man, usually at the end of the day, I'll take – there's Corporal Buster the cat. Here, look, Busty.
Just call him Jones, like an alien.
Well, he's a Corporal Buster, but he's trying to pick up Sergeant, but his PFT ain't worth a shit because look at that fat belly. Good God.
Looks similar to something else I'm looking at.
Oh, what an asshole. And I'm like, you know what? For this being our 5th podcast, I'm like, I'm going to stay sober for this one. Well, I'm already immediately regretting that decision.
Well, that was your fault.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I pull the cover off and look at it.
Okay.
If it looks okay at the end, but usually after, if I've run it for 3 or 4 days, at the end of the day, I'll pull the cover off and look at it and usually pull it off and banging on the tailgate of my dump truck.
Right.
And if it ain't a whole lot coming out, then I'll just put a little grease right here and snap it back on. But does that happen all the time?
No, of course not. That's like a perfect world kind of scenario.
But, you know, I mean, shit, let me tell you this. This filter come off a steel 500i chainsaw. And that's how much is fuel injected. Throttle body fuel injected. So when this thing gets dirty and the airflow is restricted, the fucking ECM on the chainsaw learns that through a math, and it cuts the, you know, it cuts the fuel back to keep your damn fuel air mixture correct. Damn chainsaw smarter than I am, which ain't saying a whole lot. But anyway, I really try to stay on top of my my father always said, take care of what takes care of you.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, it's no different than your guns. How many of us are, you know, bad about cleaning our guns? I don't clean my guns for shit. I clean them when like one feels sluggish, or if I actually look at it and it's like, ooh, that looks kind of dirty. Like I was looking at my MCX yesterday because I'm gonna shoot that tomorrow night, and like just charging it back, I was like, that's kind of dirty. That's a piston gun, so it should be clean.
Cleaner.
Well, but when you shoot the absolute piss out of it, it ain't that fucking clean.
Right.
You know, and now am I going to clean it at this point? No, hell no. I'll just spray more fucking lube in it and rack it a few times and let it go.
You know what Andrew told me?
Run it all suppressed.
You do or do not?
Do what?
Suppress it.
No, I'm going to run it suppressed tomorrow night.
Yeah, so if you suppress it, you know, it's going to induce a little more fouling.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew,
I think that's why it's as dirty as it is. Pick a spot, Mace.
Andrew told me, he said, run them damp. Run the rifle damp, and that way, obviously clean it, but right, make sure it's damp. I mean, this pistol here, this is my carry gun here. Little Colt Combat Elite Defender. Love it. I did a review on it, and then I've been shooting. I probably got 1,000 rounds to it. The last time this gun was cleaned was when it was in Hartford, Connecticut, which I'm assuming is when they built it. So, you know, I'm going to clean it at some point, but I don't get all wrapped around the axle about it.
Yeah, I'm looking at like my Echelon. I'm going to run that tomorrow, and it could probably use a little lube to it.
What do you got, match?
No, just the usual, like the weekly shoot that we've not done in a couple months because it's just between life, kids, weather, work, just haven't made it out. But one of our buddies, he's now gotten super big into NFA stuff. So he was like, can we be all suppressed? It was like, I even harassed him. I'm like, geez, somebody gets a couple cans. Now we're going to be all shooting suppressed the whole time. Which,
right.
It's like, no, seriously, that's fine. So yeah, so I run my Echelon with the Osprey 45K on it.
Yeah. How do you like that Osprey?
I like the design, the form factor idea of it, how it's, you know, not cylindrical when it stays low. It works with most sights.
That's
and honestly, it's the visual of it on a USP is what really sold me. And I have a USP that I put it on. It's fine. I don't have anything pro or against. I literally bought it because the lines matched the USP so well. It looked that hot.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
To me, that was enough. You know?
Sure.
But I want to get another handgun can or two. Like maybe get a dedicated 9 can. And
maybe you could write a Ranch Hot review on it.
I mean, I certainly will if you want it.
Yes.
I don't, honestly, it's funny enough, I don't actually have a whole lot of time behind it.
Oh, we'll do like I do, make it all up.
Yeah, right. I mean, when I did that zombie match I put on, I ran it, not on this thing, I ran on my, one of my CZP09s. I ran on that, and the thing ran great. I mean, it had no issues with it, but yeah, I've got maybe 200 rounds through it. Maybe it's mostly just goofing off. So I need to put some serious rounds through it, I think, to really like get a feel for it. I need to get some, either load some subs or buy some subs and try some subsonics. Cause right now I've only been shooting, My loads are 115 grains that are really hot shit to run with compensated guns and ported guns.
Okay.
And then I've got a bunch of factory NATO spec 124s that I've been typically run through my MP5 with a can on it. Again, so nothing that's subsonic. So I need to get some, like, I need to either buy or load some subsonic stuff and, you know, see if it comes with a hearing save. Because I'm betting with being a 45K can, even with subs, I bet it's going to be a little on the louder side, I would think. I don't know. We'll find out. Something to play with.
Can we take a 45-second recess? Okay, so I'm back. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
So this is a can I'm working on for B&T. This is one of their 5.56 cans, another 3D-printed can.
Right.
But it's kind of in this gray, fantastic can.
What's it made out of, like titanium, Inconel?
It's all titanium, all 3D-printed. Reduced back pressure.
Okay.
But if you remember, I had the Rotex X.
Yep.
Which QD to a birdcage, A2 birdcage. Right.
God, that's what I want. I want it like that so bad.
So this one. Look.
Because I've got my HK416 clone. I don't want to break the A2 birdcage off my 416. And so I just want to assume get a B&T with an A2 mount. It would just be simpler, I think.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you're taking the suppressor off.
Yeah, I'm just showing the...
What was that, a ratchet mount of some well, kind of
it,
that one?
So you loosen it just a cat hair.
Oh, is that the A2 one?
And then it locks right onto my birdcage.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and then when you want to put it on...
Right.
You know, you kind of find it. Oh, you got to do it right. It's got this little...
It's called a gate lock or something like that?
What's that?
And that gate lock, they call that?
Yeah, like a gate lock. It grabs one of these recesses.
Right.
And it just comes down, and then you hold your mouth right, and it locks.
Right.
And then once you've locked it.
Oh, you're still turning it now after you've locked it in. Okay.
Now, here's the deal. You don't have to loosen the can to get it off and on.
Right.
But if you do it like a turn or so. It does make it easier.
Okay.
To get off and on.
So that's like a hub mount can then. You change that ass end out to.
And you can. You could change this to a hub mount or what have you.
I definitely want that with that A2 birdcage mount just for that 416 rifle because I know HK's like probably rock set that thing on. I don't want to dick with taking it off. I mean, and honestly, you know. I'm guilty enough. I fell into the whole trap of muzzle devices of flash hiders and brakes and shit. While that was cool and all, at the end of the day, man, I've done enough night shooting. It's hard to beat an A2 birdcage. It really is.
I'm trying to tell you. So I'm just so this is called the Print XHRBS TI.
Pretty sure I was looking at that earlier today too.
And I'm going to tell you what, it is, I'm not going to say it's better than the Infinity X, but it's pretty damn slick. And so my buddy, Eric Suarez is a really good friend of mine. He was the marketing director for Remington forever.
Okay.
And then he went over to Meprolite. We had to come to Raleigh a couple weeks ago. And so he brought me an advanced sample. He bought me a goodie bag from Meprolite.
Okay.
Some of the stuff I could talk about, some not quite.
Sure.
But this is the new MCO Pro Red Dot.
MCO Pro. Okay. Yeah.
And I have yet to mount it, obviously. he's bringing me an they updated the True Vision, and he's bringing me an updated True Vision, which I'm looking forward to. I'm running the... On this carbine, I'm running the M22.
Let me hold up again. Oh, yeah, okay.
And then on my little 7.5-inch SBR, I've showed you the Barnes rifle.
Right.
I'm running the True Vision. So, I tell you what, man. Okay. I know the Meprolite stuff is a little spendy.
I'm pulling up right now looking at it. Red reticle. I don't even care. 10-inch triangle. $500. that's is that really, dude? Because I don't think that's no worse than EOTech and aim points.
Right, but I mean 500. But now here's the thing: it's all Israeli made.
Right,
and the IDF fields this stuff.
Right,
so there's a hell of a pedigree that comes along with, you know, if the IDF is fielding it.
Right.
So I know it's a little spendy, but
I don't think it is spendy. I think it's right in for good quality, especially proven built optics. If it's no more or less than EOTechs, Trigicons, and aim points,
right?
I don't think it's that spendy. The difference is nowadays, though, we've got so many good options that are not expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Holland's got a ton of offerings.
Burris,
SIG, Burris, Primary Arms, and they all make some really good stuff. Yeah, a lot of it's made in China, but guess what? I don't give a shit. If it gets you the optic sighting you're looking for and it works and holds zero, who cares? I mean,
so not to cut you off, but this is what I remembered.
Okay.
This was announced today. I've had this rifle a few weeks.
Okay.
So this is the new Marlin Dark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And 357 Magnum.
Oh, getting the pistol caliber. Yeah.
So they announced the 357 and the 44 Magnum today.
What the hell? Wait, rack that thing. Ah, okay. Okay, cool. So
this was announced. So I got this as a pre-production test sample.
Right.
A few weeks ago to get, you know, the way Ruger likes for me to do it, or Marlin, they're like, when it's announced, give it a week or two and then publish your review. Don't publish it the day it's announced.
So you're not getting lost in that same swamp of, you know, release dates of shit.
That's what my buddy Mark told me. He goes, look, you publish whenever you want when the embargo's up. He said, but if I were you, I would wait, start watching for a week. You know, right. A week after announcement, start watching, and when you see the reviews trickle down, then post. Because after it's been announced for a week, people are learning about it. They're Googling it.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing too. Like, you know, my buddy James Reeves, the Firearm Blog, he gets called a shill at times because he'll drop a review out, you know, on the day the embargo drops because he's going to get good views on it. And he usually anymore, I feel like he makes comments going, look, just because it's dropping all the same day doesn't mean we're shills, you know, because they're not. They don't take a dime for anything. I've sent them enough test samples with no money exchanged, you know. But in the same breath, if you're not in that hurry to be the first ones to drop it, hell yeah. Sit on shit a week and watch him getting better traffic possibly because you're not fighting everybody else that's dropping all their shit.
And this is like tomorrow I'm going to do a short on it. I do a couple YouTube shorts.
Right.
To get people going ooh and on.
Right.
And then I'll do my full review.
Right.
Well, I'm about done with it, but I might wait another 10 or 12 days.
Sure, sure.
And then all the while I'm posting shorts.
Sure.
But let me tell you something. It is cool.
Real quick sides, your shorts, are they like different content, or are they going to be clips that'll be in your full review?
No, they're different clips.
Okay. Anyways.
So, yeah. Here's the FUD.
It's okay.
You know, it's, so
I'm held against you.
I got an email from my buddy at Ruger about a week and a half after I got it. He's like, okay, right. Hunter, you know, what do you think? And now they're not inviting me to skew the review.
Right.
But they're like, hey, what do you think? Are you having any problems? Is there something going on with this rifle we need to address? Especially because it hasn't been announced.
Right.
So did you get this rifle and there's a problem that we need to know about? And if it is, what is it? So we can address it. But, you know, so they're not, but they never have tried to influence my review. But he goes, and I'm like, hey, look, you know, we got a couple hundred rounds to it so far. It's been 100% reliable as expected, lever gun.
Right.
Sights were dead ass on it, 50 yards. Fit, form, function, great. It levers nice. But I said, now I appreciate the tactical lever gun. I do. I said, but I've got the Trapper 4570 in 357. I said, I like that better.
That's okay.
That's right. I get it, man. That's why we make different kinds for different people.
Yeah, you don't have to like everything you review.
Right.
I mean, you can like that gun. You can have zero negatives about the gun, with the exception of being but I like traditional better. I don't care for the modernized M-Lock accoutrements, you know.
Accoutrements, good word.
Yeah. I like seeing some of the, what's the one brand company called Wooks? They make a bunch of different like wood stocks and wood forends for different guns. But the cool thing is they still add in like M-Lock slots. So you can get, and I guess in your case, it'd be kind of like more traditional looking, but you get just those couple M-Lock slots. If you wanted a light or a forward grip or something, you can add it on there and it still has that traditional look. That I think is super cool. Again, is it my flavor? No, give me full. You see my lever gun. It's a full blunt space cowboy lever action.
I think it's great. Smith & Wesson did that with their lever gun in 44 Magnum that they introduced 2 years ago.
Right.
It's a traditional wood stock, but it's got a couple M-Lock slots right at the front.
Right.
And I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, because in my opinion, just adding that much more like simple utility. It's like a classic style gun.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And I think that's awesome, personally. Like I said, visually, whether it lines up for me or not, doesn't matter. It's cool that the option is there. So it just, more options never hurt, man.
But that's the thing, you know, what I like. Now, the reason I prefer the Trapper over the Dark is only aesthetics.
Sure. That means a lot.
You know, visually, I like the more traditional, but I can appreciate the fact that Ruger's putting out a rifle that's going to appeal to people. Right. They're like, okay, now I don't have to buy this Trapper and change all the furniture.
Right.
It's already ready.
Yep.
So.
No, I appreciate the hell out of that.
You and me both.
I mean, it's what is the phrase? Like, variety's the spice of life or something like that. I mean, it's reality. If you don't like it, cool. Don't buy it. Move along. If it fits for you, hell yeah, go for it. Like, you know, like we've lightly touched on it too. Like, AR builds, like retro ARs have still been pretty hot and A2 to A1 carry handle uppers. And I bought a A1 carry handle 733 upper.
Oh,
from TNTE.
Is that an SBR?
Yeah. No, it's a pistol. It's a pistol. I mean, it's fucking lower, but it's, I'm talking about the upper. So it's a 733, which is 11.5 inch. And I want it to be the heat gun. So you see, it's got no bayonet lug, you know. I want it to be the heat gun because they use that downtown scene. But once I got it, I was like, man, this like only irons shit kind of sucks.
Oh,
like,
come on.
Seriously, like I'm over it. I've run optics and everything. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot this thing because I have an old Olympic Car 15, first AR I bought. You know, it has the 10 or 11 inch barrel with the big ass flash hider, like the XM 177 style. And I don't shoot anymore because it doesn't have an optic. So then this thing, it was like, I'm not shooting this thing. But in that style of keeping it retro mono, though, yeah, now I've added a prism carry optic, you know, 1X prism, and then added in a simple light mount. That's going to blind anything. There you go. That goes into the classic handguard. And like, bam, right there. Just the extra utility I get out of this setup. That is just awesome. This thing is still stupid light. It's still retro-ish. I'm going to try to do some cool looking angles. I'm not getting too far from the damn mic. But yeah, so it's like old school, but has enough modern shit to it.
Right.
That's just cool. Make your shit your own, you know. That's why I like that lever action. That thing is cool.
Guns are very personal.
Absolutely. And too many people forget that shit when they're keyboard commandoing.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to, when you buy a gun, if you know, like me, a lot of guns, I don't change nothing.
Right.
Because, oh God, here
comes. Because you're a FUD.
Because I'm a FUD, and I feel like a lot of guns that I gravitate toward are fucking perfect out of the box.
Sure, like all your 1911s.
Well, not all of them.
I'm fucking with you, dude.
But you know, all the Colts and Dan Wessons and Ruger.
Yeah, pushing the FUD button here.
But yeah, FUD, I mean, you're right. I have a lot of FUD in me, and I didn't realize it. But it was God almighty. So I got
keep digging your hole. Go for it.
I mean, fuck it. You know, we're all friends here. I got a 3-inch Python, the new one.
Right.
And I got it right. Well, I got it a couple months before it was announced. Did a review for my buddies up here at Colt. And I wound up buying it from my buddy. I'm not going to tell you what I paid for it because you're going to think I'm.
No, I don't want to hear it because I want a 3-inch, but I don't want to hear it.
I can get you one for cheap. But
anyways.
I carry that a lot.
You carry it.
I do. I carry it a lot. That little 3-inch Python.
Blue or stainless?
Stainless. I don't think they've got a blue. They're blue.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The blue's limited to like models.
4.25 right now. Okay. I don't know if they're doing a 6, but I carry that that 3-inch pipe, and I put the what they call the duty stocks on it. They're real slim.
Okay.
And I was sitting over here, and I had it on the table beside me with a speed strip of some old school. I think it was
center wad cutters. You're going to, weren't you?
It was double tap, 150 okay. grain, full wad cutters.
Full wad cutters.
Okay. Full wad cutters, baby.
Okay.
And I was sitting here. Now, Candy, you know, my girlfriend Candy, she got a Springfield 911,
mm-hmm.
380. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. She loves that pistol. And I love autoloaders. But I carry the 3-inch Python and I can't even find it. The 3-inch Python and the 3-inch Defender are my two carry guns. And they get, you know, a lot of times when I open the safe, it's whichever one was within hand's reach.
Right, right.
You know, whatever. And but I'm sitting here, and I've been carrying that a while. And Candy looks over. She said, "I can tell you're getting old now." She said, "Cause we first started dating like 6 years ago. You're all about all you ever carried was a 1911." She said, "I noticed about a year and a half ago, the occasional revolver would be on the table.
Uh huh.
You know." And she's like, "Now every time I look, you got a damn revolver in your pocket. You know, you carry that Python." And she's not lying. She's like, "You're getting old, you know, and now it's lever guns. Every time I turn around the house, there's a lever. I'm tripping over a new lever gun and a new revolver." And I was like, "God, Amati." And I didn't even pick up on it.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, "Oh, I need to go buy 3 ARs to balance it out."
I'll defend you a little bit. I'll defend you a little bit. Lever guns are obviously at a new, like, all-time resurgence high.
Which
they are. I'm
too thankful for, man.
You know, I mean, it's cool. Like, obviously they've always been around. I didn't give a shit about any of them. Yes, they were fun, but I was like, it's just, I'm not going to buy one of those things. Until they became, like, tactical lever guns, I was like, yes, I want one of these things. So now, guess what? That's why I have one. But even the revolvers, like, they seem like they're kind of resurging a little bit, too. Like,
I hope so.
I put my hands on that Diamondback. They have a new 3-inch revolver. I put my hands on it GOS, and it was a really smooth feeling. Like, the lines, it might be, honestly, it's probably too modern stylized for you. It kind of reminded me of, what was it, Kimber put out that revolver a few years ago. Looked really good. I heard it was really, really snappy to shoot. I'm sure if that's what it's called.
I did a review on one, believe it or not.
But the Diamondback, it didn't look like a Colt. It didn't look like a Smith. It's probably why I thought it looked cool, because it had different enough lines to it, you know. And again, for its size, I get somebody grabbing that, carrying it. And like the capacity thing, man, I just, here's where I'm getting older. I'll say is, I don't give a shit what you carry. Just know how to use it. Who gives a shit? I don't care if it carries 17 rounds or 6 rounds. Who gives a shit?
So that's
how to use it.
I mean, that's a good segue, though. That's a real good segue, Dave. let's talk about EDC real quick.
Sure.
Yeah. Generally speaking, what do you carry, and how many do you carry a reload, and how many reloads if you do?
Nine times out of ten, yes, I'm carrying an appendix rig.
What are you carrying?
Usually this Echelon.
Okay.
Minus the can, minus the light. I'll carry the Echelon and an appendix rig. And yeah, I've got a whole other mag. You know.
How many rounds does that hold?
This one's 17. And this one, if the shirt conceals it, is like 21, I think.
That's a Moga.
So way more than I'd ever need. If I'm not carrying that, a lot of times I'm carrying my HKVP9, similar mag setup. I've got an appendix rig. I'll carry my CZP09, one of three, which have like 19 round magazines. And if I don't feel like carrying jack shit, I keep my wife has my FN, FNS, like a Gen 1 striker fired, and it has 17 round magazines. With that one, I usually carry the magazines in it, and that's it.
Right.
But so do I usually carry an extra magazine? Yes. Do I think that magazine is ever needed? No, not probably not really.
I'll tell you why I think it's a good idea to carry a spare magazine.
Sure.
And it's not necessarily for the reload.
Okay.
If you have a magazine failure.
Yeah, okay.
And I know that
clear, another one in.
And
yeah.
So this was a number of years ago. I have a Colt Special Combat Government chambered in Super 38.
38 Super?
No.
Super 38.
Yeah, the pistol's called 38 Super. The cartridge is Super 38.
Yeah, I always thought it was 38 Super.
No, the there's going to be a huge debate.
Okay, don't. Is this going to be like a 45 auto?
No. Well, no, there ain't no such cartridge as 45
auto. But you know what I'm getting at.
Or, excuse me. There's no cartridge. There's no such.
But you know what I'm getting at,
right? But I like.
Is that what it kind of falls into? The cartridge.
No. Well, yeah, I think everybody's caught it. But so here's a little history lesson.
Oh God!
All right. So Colt came out with the 38 auto.
Okay.
And it was a 38 caliber. Auto-loading cartridge, 38 auto.
Right.
That's my cat, my other cat, little Shug. And then, back when, you know, bootleggers was a big deal, the FBI and all the law enforcement agencies were having trouble penetrating the door.
Right, because if 45 is too slow, it's not punching through door seal, right.
In the 38 auto. Yeah, so Colt come out with the Super 38 auto.
Yeah, 38 Super.
Well, it was called the Super 38 Auto.
Okay.
And it is externally identical as the 38 Auto, but it's the Super 38 Auto, Super 38 Auto, because it's fast.
Okay.
And then at some point, Colt just dropped the Auto, and it became Super 38.
Right.
But the handgun was called a 38 Super.
That's what I'm still going to bust your balls. Say, I think this is like a 45 auto versus 45 ACP. People always just call the ammo 38 Super. Whether the guns, if the guns right. called 38 Super or not, they'll buy a gun. It's chambered in that. They're going to go, it's a 38 Super. I've never heard anybody say Super 38. I've always heard it 38 Super.
And when people are like, well, that's wrong, Hunter. I tell you how I know it ain't wrong.
You're like, moment's shining to like go off on some knowledge and lore.
If you look at the barrel hood of any Colt, And Colt invented it. The barrel hood is labeled Super 38.
Right.
So, just but
45 auto, not 45 ACP.
Exactly. But there's many.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights, our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Factors out there now to put 45 ACP on their barrel hood.
Sure.
You know, and here's the thing. It's the same thing as 38 Super versus Super 38. The 45 ACP shoots the 45 automatic cartridge. Because ACP stands for automatic cold pistol.
I totally get where you're at. I'm with you. But anymore, I've kind of fallen in the line of the same thing with magazine versus clip. I just honestly don't give a shit anymore. Because if I go on a tangent on somebody, if that means they're new to this shit, and that's something that might like alienate them away because they're going to be too afraid to sound stupid because they say a clip instead of magazine, you know what? Fuck it. I just don't care anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Hey, man, it's a magazine, not clip, but it's fine. You say clip, it's fine. Yeah, I'm just.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off on that. But so I was out shooting my Special Combat Government in Super 38,
right?
And I had bought a couple of spare magazines,
right?
And I'm trying to remember. And I, you know what? This was so long ago. This was right when the Special Combat come out. Anyway, Special Combat Government's got a really beautiful magwell. It's I can't remember who makes it right now. But anyway, beautiful magwell. What's that?
I'm just laughing. It's a beautiful magwell. I'm like, that's a magwell, man. I mean, like,
you know, no, magwell on it. No.
I'm fucking with you, Tom.
Yeah. This calm is down. Like fitted. You know, it's very aesthetically pleasing. It's physically arresting. Okay. It looks as if it grew from the gun.
Sure.
And so I'm out there, you know, and this is a match pistol. So I'm out there, you know, and the magazines come with a pretty healthy bumper base pad, A, to get past the magwell, and B, so you can slam the fuck out of it.
Right.
And so I shot the gun dry, boom, 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 went to slide lock, come up here, new mag. Maybe I was a little aggressive, and I slammed it in. When I pulled my hand back, the fucking base pad followed my hand, and there was nine rounds of ammunition along with a magazine spring. This was like, frame.
Right, right.
And I'm standing there with a gun at slide lock, and I got a magazine base pad, body, spring, and nine rounds at my feet. And I said, fuck. So, you know, but if, God forbid, if that had been a defense situation, I loaded it, and it happened. All I got to do is go for my next mag. So spare mag is good if you have a magazine failure.
So
for an additional, you know, ammunition for sure.
My thought with that, and here's the thing, too, I think this should be like a overstanding important thought with all this shit is always be evolving you yourself, you know. Right. Any of your mindsets and your training and how you're going to operate this shit should always be. Don't be stuck in one fucking way because you read one book by one Navy SEAL in 1970s and that's your doctrine. No. Shit evolves. You should evolve too.
Right.
And that's where my mind goes with this shit. When Shasha Keltec dropped that 5.7 pistol that has no magazine, you have stripper clips to load it. And a bunch of people hate it. A bunch of people are loving it. One of the first guys I heard say gave a positive praise was Reeves. And he was quoting some statistic information from self-defense shootouts that the possibility of reloading or the idea of people reloading a defensive shootout is like next to nothing.
Yeah, I think the average defensive shoot, you use 3 to 5 rounds.
Right. So if you've got a 20-round gun, what do you need extra magazine for? I get the stance and that idea, but also it comes into, on that gun in particular, if you got a malfunction, what happens? Because there's... Whoa, we good? Oh, shit.
Certainly, if you had a malfunction, how do you do a tap, rack, bang?
Wow, that was weird. Totally went silent on me, and like we lost connection or some shit. That was weird.
Right.
Yeah, you can't do a tap, rack, bang.
How do you do a tap? Like, if you get a double feed.
Right. I get that. You know, I truly do. At the same time, like, I still carry an extra magazine, so yes, I could do a magazine or a malfunction clearing. I get that. But I also, at the same time, I feel like probably the biggest issue with most people's EDC shit is they probably don't pull it out enough and either A, use it to train with it, and B, keep it clean from lint and shit in there. If your gun's well-maintained, I'm kind of like, that one mag is probably fine. It's probably all you need.
Probably more than enough. Now, if I'm carrying now, you know, I carry this little pistol. there's seven in it.
Right.
And one, seven, and then eight. Seven in a mag, one in a pipe.
Right.
And I carry an 8-round spare magazine.
Right.
Or if I'm carrying a revolver, I carry 6 rounds in a speed strip. Look, there's Rocco the Gray Cat. He, rock, rock. Can I use a politically incorrect term here?
I don't give a shit.
He's a bit of a retard, but I love him.
Hang on, let's pause here for a second. I'm gonna see my wife, make sure she's all good. Okay, I'm back.
I left you a special message to figure out while you're editing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. no dick pics, hopefully.
What were you watching?
Oh God, shut the fuck up.
You're like, where'd that great big old hairy anaconda come from? That's daddy's.
More like a peanut on a mossy floor.
It looks like a baby's arm holding a damn red delicious.
Whatever. Yeah. So anymore, like my like gun mantra, or I don't know what the fuck you want to call it, whether it's like tactical Timmy training, everyday carrying, shooting in general, just practice with your shit. It's more important. And the biggest thing of it is really is this is you do you. You want to do old school shit, do old school shit. You want to do high capacity, you know, what was the phrase? High speed, low drag shit. Whatever, high speed, man. You do you. That's all that matters. You do
but
you.
But we could agree that you should always be seeking to elevate your proficiency.
Absolutely.
And hold your skill. So absolutely. You should be seeking out good training, taking classes, and then practicing what you've learned. Hone that skill.
Yeah.
And you know, I hate to sound like a shill, but I'm going to plug Gunsight. Because I'm going to tell you what, man.
That's fine.
Gunsight is amazing. But if you don't have the money for Gunsight, because it's expensive.
Now, all that training, that's the thing I think is the biggest problem, is that training. Like I went to GunCon, or not GunCon, that's different. Ohio Range Day last year, and I'm going again in 25. And that's a huge like training event. It's expensive. What I pay for that event, plus my hotel, plus my ammunition. Yeah. It's like a vacation just for me, not for my wife and kids and, you know, anything else. So I am cool with, if you can be on a range, it's not some FUD controlled indoor one round every 3 second bullshit. If you can get on a range and shoot however you want to shoot, listen to legit instructors who put the stuff online, you know. There are plenty that do it, and you can learn there. It's not perfect because you're not getting their feedback to what you're doing, but it's better than nothing.
It would be better than nothing. But you know, there's some good options. So I'm in North Carolina, and I've got Trace Armory Group, which does fantastic training. And then we've got Green Ops training coming down. They're going to open up a place in North Carolina. I got a pistol class lined up with Green Ops. And I was on their podcast 2 Wednesdays ago. Mm-hmm. My buddy Josh Saul is one of the instructors. That man he's been in some of my videos. He is a fucking machine.
Is he the guy you're saying he wanted to hop on our shit show of a podcast?
Yeah, I want to bring him in and let him talk. He is a machine. He's really good at what he does.
Nice.
But yeah, man, always, you know, train, practice, train, practice.
See ya.
So anyway, that's my, you know, long and the short of it.
Yeah. No, that's it, but that's it. It's all the same shit carries over and everything, whether it's your defensive carry or anything else. Don't train and practice. What's the point?
Shoot what you like.
Yeah.
If you don't like 1911s, make an appointment with a fucking neurologist in the morning. Figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, with me. No, if you're me, I just said you're wrong. But
right. Well, no. I mean, it could be you're mentally, you know, vacant in the brain housing group, and
I've always loved 1911s. I always will.
Oh God, I want to talk about them, but I'm not because
no, we're not going to go deep dive on that. No,
I'm not going to. I want to though.
We'll do like a 1911 deep dive episode where I can like, you know, walk around, do some other shit, and come back and check on you as you're still rambling off my 1911.
I'm going to get the Kuhnhausen manuals out. We're going to talk about Kuhnhausen. And, you know, but shoot what you like. If you like Sig or
if you like pocket 380s, I don't care.
You know, and see, so you know, Candy, she's 5'2" and she's 120 pounds, and she, if she carries anything bigger than that little Springfield, it prints.
Yeah.
So she carries that little Springfield, but she, you know what I do is I got her hooked up with Double Taps. She carries Double Tap ammunition, and I'm not sponsored by Double Tap, but oh, there's a little, look how cute she is. I cannot believe tired. You made something that cute.
Hey, and come on, look at this. Look at this.
You're a fucking chud, man. You're a fucking chud.
Stud. No. You said it right, stud.
No. I think you ain't got your mic. Right.
Move along, Hunter. Move along.
I had a really good insult. You ain't got your headphones plugged in all the way. Got it in. So, move along, Hunter. Move along. Yeah, I feel that. You know, I'm so disgusted by trying to fix you that I feel like I'm trying to beat the ocean back with a fucking push broom. I mean, I love you. You're a wonderful guy, and you're an amazing media guy. Like, you know, if I had a gun company, you would be my media guy because I know you're the shit. But I mean, you're as hard headed as I am, or maybe worse.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
I'm trying to tell you. But you know what, though? I see that as a quality in people. I have picked this fucking heel, and I'm going to die on this son of a bitch, whether it means a damn thing to you or anybody else.
Yeah, right.
I don't mean to swear so much, but I'm wound up.
I don't care.
We just did this massive tree job, and we got it finished, and it was an oak tree.
Keep talking your tree job.
I'm going to show you the stump of this tree.
Meaning to pull out your phone, pull up a picture.
We cut this tree down. This is me just flushing the stump. Let's see if that'll work.
Ooh, that's a big stump.
The saw that I'm running has a 41-inch...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bar on it.
Holy crap.
It lacked about... It lacked about 6-8 inches of going out all the way through. 124cc chainsaw.
Damn.
Yeah. She'll cut. She will cut a tree in a heartbeat. But it was a pin oak. About 12 feet from a house, a really nice old house. So we craned everything down and
I was saying, like, if you get some bigger equipment to bring it down.
My partner in the tree, but craning it down, and man, we made a bunch of money. So I'm in a I'm in a good mood. But
no, it's cool.
Like this is. See if that'll work.
Give it a second.
This is less.
Big tree.
Finishing it up. And that's my 066 he's got with a 3-foot bar.
Damn.
Hanging. Yeah, the
few times I've run chainsaws, it's been in some questionable settings of using one and cutting shit down, not knowing what I was doing. I'll say this. It was a lot of damn fun cutting shit down with a chainsaw.
Man, let me tell you what.
It was a lot of fun. Talk about like a therapeutic thing. Like, you're just like, yeah.
I love chainsaws as much as I love guns. I do.
I can believe that.
I do, man. And I got this one saw. I got an 066 Magnum I bought in October of 1996. And I got it right now. Like, that saw that I just showed you, Les, he climbed and he took the tree with him. That saw paid for my house. I logged timber with that for
Oh my God.
you know, like I logged timber with that saw and made enough money to pay for my house with it. And it still runs like a damn sewing machine right now.
The steel still runs.
I mean, it lives in the house.
Nice.
It, you know, Candy's like, why you got that chainsaw? I'm like, you better watch it. Do not make me pick between you and that 066.
Oh my God.
Do not.
Oh my God. You got problems.
I'm trying to tell you.
You got problems.
I don't know, man. I feel like that's straight up.
Is this yours?
Who's that hot chick just came in?
The wife.
Right.
So I my mind was running off on something we talked about just off camera last week about doing bill drills.
Right.
Doing shorts of bill drills.
Right, right.
And let me tell you a little mini little story thing.
All right.
NRA show last year, company's flights, I don't know what happened, where flights were all jacked up, and I was flying out like hours later than everybody else. So like we half tore the guns down on the show before they all left. So basically it was just me and then Ron from Inland take the rest of the guns down.
My cat just ripped one. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It smells like old cat food.
But so when the show ended though, Ron helped me tear down the rest of the guns. We had lit up my high points. It was only like half the guns anyways. Put them in our job boxes, lock them up, and then I grabbed an Uber to get to the airport to catch my flight. And on that drive over, I was scrolling through my phone, and I saw another buddy's video. He was running his Beretta 1301 slugs, and what was he doing? He was running the full tube. Plus 2 4-round like side saddle like magazines that click in, but maybe it's total like 10 round. No, I don't know. I capacity doesn't matter, but it had a certain number to it. We'll say it was 15 rounds. Running 15 rounds as fast as he could on steel, and I was like, man, I was like, I got a 1301. I have a setup different than his. I could do that, and I could probably do it a little faster because my setup's different enough. And I thought, I'm gonna challenge Clint on that, because why not? And maybe that's the thing, like gun industry, gun people, do more fun shooting shit and challenge other people they know, because why not? Like, hey, Clint, look, here's my time on this thing. Pow, 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 pow. Reload.
Have your timer. Pow, pow,
pow. Sure, and show the time to it. I mean, if people don't want to believe you on the verbal time, I mean, people get lame like that. But there's nothing to win. You're not showing off. It's just a fun thing.
And it'll
tag back to somebody, you know, and maybe if he gets tagged, he'll go, oh shit, I'm gonna try and do it better. Or somebody else will go, man, I'm gonna see if I can do it any better. And that kind of got my mind when talking to you about doing bill drills. It was like,
idea,
man, I'm gonna kind of do that with bill drills because I have some different shit. Like, I've got my M1 sitting right there. And have you ever done bill drills with an M1 Garand before? Probably have, but I don't know. I'm gonna do it with one because why the hell not? You know?
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to see your M1 Garand.
Okay.
And I'm going to raise you a bill drill with a Brown Bess muzzleloader.
No, that'd be boring as fuck.
It would. However, I would like to get in on this.
Yeah, that's my point. That's my point.
And how about this? I've got a Springfield M1A loaded. 308.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, I mean, okay, so
holds the ammo. I mean,
yeah. What are the parameters of the bill drill? Like, are we shooting large calibers? You know,
No. What is a bill drill? It is number of rounds on target.
Hang on, I'll try to grab this thing.
Right here. I can't read that.
I know
you're familiar with bill drill.
Well, I know this is a real. Here, I'm gonna fuck with my zoom here. This is drill index.
Okay.
These are really cool. These cards have a crap ton of drills, but so it has a bill drill. Can you?
No.
Oh God, this is. I epic. Would not be opposed. All right, let's try to zoom this. There we go. How's that? Zoom the camera in so you can read it.
Our carbine, high, ready.
Oh, well, you got to read it. I'm just making sure you can see the words, though.
Barely.
I'll read the damn thing back to you.
Hey, would you just read it back to me?
Yeah, you're such an ass. Shut the fuck up. So, yeah, bill drill, one IPSC target at 7 yards, pistol from holster or carbine from high or low ready, park time 3.5 seconds, at signal, draw and fire 6 rounds in the A zone. Try double bill drill with a reload after 6. So that's your parameters. So me doing it with an M1 Garand versus you doing it with an M1A, it's a matter of high or low ready, safety on, beep, safety off, fire your 6 rounds.
Fuck, that's going to be tough.
Why is that going to be tough? Why is that going to be tough?
How about this? I want to do it with the Ruger SFAR.
Dude.
308.
In the end, do it with every fucking thing you have.
Yeah, okay.
That's my point I'm getting at. Don't just pick one gun. Do it with the fucking lever gun. I'm going to do it with the lever gun. Are you kidding me? I'll do it with my Henry Space Cowboy lever gun. You know?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, do it with your AR. I'm gonna do it with my 7.62 AK. I'll do it with my 5.45 AK. I'll burn 5.45 ammo just to do it with that thing. I'll do it with my short 7.62. I'll do it with my full size 5.56 AK.
On an IPSC target.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. Is you know, 6 rounds in the A zone target. I mean, and you can show your shit. You can show if you pulled one and missed it. Who gives a fuck? Not trying to like make sure you do it perfect. You're just doing some different stuff, and to challenge other people, because why not? Have some fun with it.
I think that's cool. I start out, I'm going to try it with it. I got a Ruger SFAR, and I love that bastard.
Other than saying it's an AR, I don't know what the hell that is.
The SFAR.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
Oh, it's a 308 in an AR-15 footprint.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's an AR-15 size rifle, man.
Right.
Chambered in 308.
Interesting.
But, and it's lightweight, it's super easy to carry, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, recoil's like a bitch. So it recoils like a bitch. Okay, yeah. Fine. Do it with that, but also still do it with your M1A that loaded, because I'm going to do it with a Garand right there.
I think the Garand is cool. Got six. Something cooler than that, though.
You know.
I don't have nothing cooler than an M1 Garand.
I mean, like, pushing this shit forward, like, you can game it however the hell you want. Like, I think about some of this shit, like, you know, counting rounds. Is counting rounds really that important?
Okay, like, so that, let me ask you this then. Okay, that's a good question. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That is the question. Is it that important?
Is it now? Okay, I'm going to preface this with saying I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps and I trained a lot. Okay, but I'm not a
Tactical Timmy.
Right, but I'm also not a. I was never deployed for combat.
Right.
I've never been to combat.
Right.
I've never shot at anybody.
Right.
As a Marine.
Right.
So.
Which is fine. I've never shot anybody in my life ever for anything else other than animals, you know.
Right. Well, it was different. I got a little bit different about
just that. Still time ago.
But we'll save that little tidbit for later. So. I'm not a combat veteran. I'm a veteran. Right. I'm not a combat veteran.
Right.
And I'm not going to portray myself as such. However, how feasible would it be? You get in a self-defense situation. You got your handgun with 10 rounds, 17 rounds, what have you. Understand the adrenaline dump you're going to get.
Right.
Even if you're a warfighter and have experienced it, the adrenaline dump you're going to get.
Right.
Are you going to be able to round count? Are you going to do the pod lock?
I know. That's where I'm thinking of a few guys I know that have genuine combat experience. I kind of want to ask them, like, hey, like, I get, like, because a couple of them are trainers. The other ones are not. And, like, you know, use the trainer. Is round counting, is it that important? Like, say, in a bill drill, supposed to do 5 rounds.
Six.
6 rounds. What if I fire 7 rounds? What if I fire 5 rounds? Obviously, that would be penalty against you because or what if you're only loading the magazine to 6 rounds? So you're just whipping it up, ripping it as fast as you can.
Till you get a slide lock or both.
What if I only load 6 rounds into the clip for the Garand? So I only fire the 6 rounds. Pop, 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 pop. You know, I don't care because I don't think counting, because like too many times I know guys that have done. not live fire training, but like sim munition training. And they talk about they get into an engagement that they didn't know. They knew an engagement would happen, didn't know when it would happen. They would talk about how, oh man, I think I fired like 3 shots. And they're like, dude, you fired like 8.
And that's like, the thing.
I have no recollection of that. So why is counting that important to it?
And they know it's a simulation.
Right.
And they know that an encounter is coming.
Right.
And they steal the adrenaline dump.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You know, and here again, I am not a deployed warfighter.
Right.
But now we spend a lot of time training, so I have a modicum of understanding. But when the shit hits the fan, are you gonna be like, you know, you got your 30-round magazine and your AR, you're like, I'm at 29 rounds, let me shoot one more and do a reload.
Right.
I don't think so.
I mean, I get like when you're playing a game, they tell you steel cardboard, how many rounds you're gonna put into it to neutralize it. But the reality is you're gonna put fucking rounds into a target until that target physically drops. Right? That's what my mind is gonna go to. You're gonna go to the most basic core of I'm gonna keep shooting that motherfucker until he falls down to the ground. Whether I did that with 5 rounds or did it with 30 fucking rounds.
Right.
You know? So I don't like
he might get a reload.
Right. That's why I don't care about counting that much in it, you know. You know, so is that gaming it maybe in the sense of doing a build drill? I'm going to put 6 rounds in my gun. You know, if it is, so be it. I don't give a shit. It's about having fun, first place.
And
you're doing a drill and having fun with
it. It's still adding some, you know, some training aspects to it.
Absolutely.
To kind of still hone in on your, you know, your proficiency.
Absolutely. I think so, too. So, well, we'll get this shit rolling. I think I'm going to try and record a lot of my shit first-person perspective just because it's a little bit different.
I'll set a camera behind me, and then I'll do a timer. I got a real nice timer.
But my funny thing is like, time is changing now that most of my shooting is during weekdays, so it's after work. Like, tomorrow I'm going to shoot, and we're probably wearing nods and be shooting suppressed, so I'm not going to try and do shit with it tomorrow night because I don't have a night vision camera to record anything, so I'm not going to bother fucking with it. Who knows? Maybe I will last minute. I don't know. But yeah, but like the M1, I definitely want to record that with some good light. You know,
that will be cool.
And do the build drill with it. And yeah, if it's a pain in the ass to load 6 rounds in that clip, maybe I'll put 8 rounds in it and I just gonna let it go, you know? I mean, because who cares? Just shoot the fucking thing. Just
shoot and have fun. Burn some powder up, man.
So, but then I'm gonna pass this thing on to some other guys I know that get out and shoot a lot. You know, I'm gonna push this idea onto them too. I'm like, hey, record some build drills. Like, pass it on. Show your time. Pass it on to others. You know, let's like get enough community people of like doing this. Because why? Because it's fun.
I'll get Andrew to do
the guns. You know what I mean?
I'll take some cameras in there and get Andrew to do it. That dude right there is a machine.
Well, I mean, I think like some of our other reviewer buddies that, like, you know, I talked how you do make a point to get in personal shooting time in. And I talked to some other friends, and they're like, they don't get personal shooting time. It is only for doing teeny of guns. And those guys, I'm like, cool, then fit this in. Fit a build drill in to your review. It'd be a total side thing, or you can put it in your review. Who gives a shit? But that can be a quick little short that you throw out there of like, oh, hey, guys, you know, we did a build drill with this new $7,000 pistol. Doesn't say shit about the gun, doesn't say shit about me, but just we're just gonna do it and here's our outcome. You know, you're putting rounds on range with it, you're still doing a certain level of training and having fun with it.
You know, that's the thing when I don't want to rehash old content, but even if I'm doing a T&E, I'm trying to still get something out of it for me.
Right. As you should.
You know, I mean, let's do a couple of calls in the holster. Or let's do a couple mag changes. I mean, probably half the ammo that I use is ammo gifted to me.
Right.
From Double Tap, Defender, Hornaday. Are we running over time?
No, I just looked and saw it was 11 o'clock. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we're good. We started late anyways.
That's my fault.
No,
so it's not. That ammo is gifted to me. Instead of just standing on a square range, in isosceles and just banging away, it, you know, get some damn training out of it. Something.
Right. Right. Something. Something is better than nothing.
We'll do the draw, shoot, boom, boom, you know, reload, boom, boom, reload, boom, boom. And you know what? I'll tell you what I should do, and I'm guilty of this. I should record more of that than just a shoot.
You know what? Probably most of us, I shouldn't say most, who the fuck am I? I used to record all my matches and a lot of their shit, but I don't record jack shit now because the editing is a pain in the ass. But maybe more reviewers should like share some of that shit. Like, you know, I don't think there should be like a standard for reviewers because, I mean, that's just, I think that's fucking stupid. You know, you right. enjoy guns. You gotten guns one level or another, and you enjoy shooting it, and you can understand the quality of a gun, whatever. You don't ever have to become a good shooter to enjoy and appreciate the quality of a gun.
However, you should have a degree of proficiency and perhaps expertise.
Right. So, I agree with that, but you can't ever really map that out, though. You can't say this should be a baseline. Like, that was the thing I saw. A bunch of my buddies were bitching about on their podcast a couple weeks ago. Somebody tried saying this should be there should be a standard for gun reviewers of skill levels and shit. It's like, yeah, but there's not enough time in the world to go through everybody's background to know what they've done or not done with guns.
Everybody with a YouTube channel, what do we got to meet once a year at NRA and shoot a fucking qualified
right,
match?
Right. I mean, get fucked. You know?
But you know what? Okay, but here's the beautiful, and I'm not going to get political, but here's the beautiful aspect of capitalism. Okay?
Yeah.
If you're a gun reviewer and you're putting out good content that seems to be well put together,
right?
People will follow you and they will like what you do and right. they will encourage you to do more. If you suck at it and you're a fucked God, I want to call out this one guy, but I'm not going to do it.
Don't call anybody out.
I'm not, but this one.
You can give somebody props, but don't call anybody out. There's no point in
that. I'm not. That's why I didn't do it. I'm being respectful. God, this guy's a fucking.
I'll say that, too, because I saw there was a channel came across my feed the other week, and I sent it to some other friends. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's his thing anymore. All his video content is this shit talking with video overlays of basically just perpetuating drama in the gun industry. I'm like, man, fuck off with that. Who cares? Like,
why are we trying to divide us?
I don't give a shit because totally unrelated to that. I will say that I think there are a good number of reviewers that can't shoot for shit.
Sure.
And I mean across any fucking platform, because sure, you can get guys that are killer with a shotgun. They can't shoot an AR or handgun to save their lives. But by God, you give them a shotgun in their hands, they're going to mop the fucking floor with you, you know?
Sure.
Or they'd be like a damn surgeon with a shotgun, you know? Or like long-range guys. Like, I don't know dick about long-range shooting, you know? Would I enjoy doing it? Sure, absolutely. But I don't know shit about it. But then at the same time, then, there are some of those guys, they do know their way around the gun. A fun one I discovered was Jim Tarr, Guns and Ammo. I know you know Jim Tarr.
I do.
I've read his shit for years. I had met him more than a few times, but I was squatted with him in an AK match, and all of us were so ill prepared with how we got our guns because we were like sponsored shooters, and we were just like, "Fuck it, we're gonna have fun. Who cares? Have fun with it." And I had fun with it, and I finished like middle of the pack for the whole match. So I was like, "All right, you know,
that's respectable
for putting a little effort in." I feel like I did pretty good. Of several hundred people, like it was like 300 people, I think. I finished middle of the pack. I'm happy with that. Jim Tarr was way up there. I was like, oh, damn. Jim can shoot, you know. And even watching him, I was like, all right, fucker can shoot. I'm like, I like that. That's cool, you know. But does it really mean shit at the end of the day, though? Because he writes good content. He knows his information? No, I don't mean shit. You know, you can know the material and not be a good, steady shot, you know.
I agree with that.
I mean
those who do, those who can do, those who can't teach.
Maybe. I know you're picking.
I'm just picking. But I get you. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that said that you need to have a military or law enforcement background to be a gun reviewer.
Yeah, bullshit.
You know, and man, I tell you this. I got to tell you this story, and I'll keep it brief. I was out at SSI is one of the places I shoot. This was a long time ago.
Like how long was it? 10 years? 12 years? 20?
Easy now. Wow. just hold on.
Dude, I've been shooting for 20 years. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know, but my father, hold on. This is a story.
Oh, my God. Story on a story.
My this is the inception. My father had a 1987 Chevrolet Beulahville van.
Okay.
Half-ton van, okay?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but okay, van.
It's a half-ton van, and no windows or nothing in it.
Okay.
And he had a reloading bench in the van.
Okay.
With his single-stage Hornet A press, tumbled the whole nine yards. He had an inverter.
Right.
With a refrigerator.
Okay.
Now, my father would go in the morning to shoot a match. And he would shoot the match, and he would hang out, and he would shoot 500, 600, 800 rounds. When the heat of the day came, Ronnie getting that old Chevrolet Beulahville, and it had like a damn 65-gallon gas tank on it. He would fire that sumbitch up and sit in there in the air condition and eat his sandwich and drink a Coca-Cola and reload. In that van, I shit you not. And then, you know, a couple hours go by, it cools down. He'd go out there with the rounds he just reloaded and shoot again. You know, and it was the damnest thing. But anyhow, I was at SSI, and there was some law enforcement guy. I'm not going to say who, because I'm not going to
say. Sure, sure. Yeah.
And I was 80% done with developing a load with this Savage 308 that I had bought, and I had done some work on it. And I sent it to Tom Bellevue, gunsmith in Wendell, North Carolina. He had done some work on it. It was a precision rifle, you know, big old fat bull barrel. I had the actions, the lugs trued. I had everything, the face trued. All the lugs were machined and lapped, barrel free floated. It was not aluminum aluminum pillar bed. But I had a stock or a chassis now,
mm-hmm.
was a single block of aluminum. So the action was bed and a single block of machined aluminum. It was $3,000 rifle. We're talking probably 2005 money. And, you know, it was.
So like 20 years ago?
Yes. Can I just tell my fucking story? Damn it. And, I had developed a load with the Hornaday 168 grain Match King and IMR 4895 using Federal Brass and the Federal Gold Match Primers.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And it was sub half MOA. Like it was, I say that now, I had a great big old Leupold fucking Hubble telescope on it. But it was a shooter. And I got there, and the way the range worked is you had like a 200-yard range here, but then the 100-yard firing line here.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever got first got to pick, is everybody shooting from 200 yards or 100 yards? So they would run a range flag up. So I got there, and there were some guys shooting the 100-yard line. So I'm like, all right. So I rode down there, and I'm like, this is fine. And I set my rifle up, and it was very nondescript. It did not look fancy. Decent rifle, but it did look fancy. And set it up, and I had my little green ammo case out with the ladder loads, and I knew, I'm like, this is the load that's going to do well. These are loaded to case overall length. These are touching the lands and grooves, yada, yada, yada. Went through all that. And I'm expecting, you know, five shots inside of a nickel and 100 yards.
Right.
Which the rifle was, with the correct load, was easy to do. And I felt pretty good about that. And when I had shot a number of groups, five shots, you could cover them up with a nickel. I've got the rifle this moment. Anywho, these guys, and here's what kind of rubbed me wrong, Dave, and I'm sorry I'm going long on this. They were there, and
These guys rubbed me wrong with military law enforcement guys now.
Law enforcement.
Back to that. Yeah.
So they were there, and they were in, like, black BDU breeches.
Right.
And they had Tactical. The boot blast.
Tactical, yeah.
And they had their Smedium t-shirts on.
Smedium, yeah. Okay. Smedium.
You know, they were walking around the range, and I'm with blank RPD, and I'm with, you know, Sheriff. Right. Anywho, the SOP at the range is whenever you're, like, you go to there and you hang a number of targets, and whenever you're done shooting, just lock the bolt back or take the bolt out, and you sit there with your arms crossed. And what you're waiting is for everybody to quit shooting, we call range cold.
Right.
And what I would always do is I'd pull the bolt out of my rifle. So they know I'm not only am I done shooting, the rifle's inoperative.
Right.
So the guys looked over and I had shot, I don't know, it's irrelevant. And I had shot a number of rounds and I had pulled the bolt out of my rifle and I had stuck it in my back pocket. And the guy looked at it and goes, "Are you done?" I'm like, "Well, I'm done for this string." He said, "Well, let's go. You want to go check targets? We're going to call range cold." I'm like, "Yeah, let's call range cold." And so, you know, all the axes are open. We go down there, and these guys are high-fiving each other. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, fucking badass. You're a sniper." You know, and I'm thinking to myself, now, let me tell you something. They have some serious hardware there. They had some
Remington
700 Sendero and 300 Win Mag.
Right.
They had some really nice hardware. When I walk by and I'm looking at what they got laid out on the bags, I'm like, man, I am jelly. Their skin is way nicer than mine. Whatever. So, you know, I'm looking at my groups and I've got some really nice, I mean, I've got a number of five-shot groups you could cover up with a nickel or a quarter. Some not so good, you know, but I knew, like, target one is this load, target two is this load.
Yada, right.
And they're all, you know, and I was like, man, I'm dying to see what these guys. These guys are, you know, trained. They got Yeah. I walked over, Dave.
You said it was 100 yards? 100 yards?
100 yards. 100 yards. And I walked over there, and I looked down at the guy. I'm like, "Hey, what y'all, you know?" I made a bullshit excuse. "Hey, man, you guys doing okay? You want some water or, you know, yada, yada, yada." And I made a bullshit excuse. I didn't want them to meet me in the middle. I wanted to walk over in front of their targets and talk. So I'm walking and talking. "What are you guys shooting? What's your load?" "Oh, we got the Black Hills ammo, you know, supplied by..."
I don't have a fucking clue. It's supplied by Black Hills. Yeah, they don't have a clue.
But they don't know. It probably wasn't Black Hills. Or it might have been, or who knows.
But they're not gun guys. They're just, it's a tool. They're just grabbing it and using it, or they're told.
Correct. I get there and I'm looking at the targets and I'm like, "Holy fuck." The guy had one, it was probably 5 MOA. You know, I mean, he had a five shot 100 yard group like that with like a 308 or 300 Win Mag. It was a Remington Sendero, which is a damn nice rifle. All
right.
And I may be getting my dates crossed.
It doesn't matter. It's trivial at this point.
Right, but I don't remember the beginning end dates of the Sendero. Anyhow, the guy's like, "What do you think about that? That's pretty good, huh?" And I looked down at it, and I looked at him. I was like, "Is that number one buck?"
No, you didn't.
I did. He said, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Is that an 870, number one buck, like full choke?"
Right.
He said, "No, you fucker, that's my damn 308 or whatever."
Yeah, do you realize it's a sub-MOA gun?
Like, he's like, "What do you know about shooting?" And I was like, "Ah, nothing."
I'm
like,
"Nothing.
What yeah. I do know?" I said, "My name is Hunter Elliott. Here's what I do know, fella. If ever, 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 ever you get called to a hostage situation, and you roll up and you're fucking glassing the scene and you see me, under no fucking circumstances are you taking the shot. Do you hear me? No, don't take the shot. Right. I was horrified. And I was out there with my girlfriend at the time, and I left her back at the bench. She said, "How does this guy shoot?" And I had me a little 60 power spot and scope, you know, some old bullshit. And I'm like, "Baby, just glass over there and just peruse the what they." And I was like, "This is awful."
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's real. Like, I'm looking up a guy to tell you on X. Pacific Northwest Gorilla. So shout out to him. I met this guy in 2019, did training with him. Follow him on social media. He does military surplus sales, but he does a lot of rucking and shooting out in Washington State. And every now and again, he throws a post up out there saying, "Your 20-year ago military history means jack shit when it comes to firearms today." It's shit like that. I'm paraphrasing it, but because that point absolutely is true. Just because you were in the service during some war time, you know, maybe you got in a firefight, maybe you didn't, 20 years ago doesn't necessarily mean a goddamn thing to anything you grab and shoot and train with today.
He's absolutely wrong. Real quick.
Go ahead, double down.
So 37 PSR is a range outside of Bragg. It used to be owned by a fellow named Frankie McRae.
Okay.
Frankie McRae was a Green Beret instructor, and he was the real deal. He was an operator. But you would never know it to meet him.
Sure.
Super nice.
Most Green Berets I've met are very, like, very chill.
Real humble. All I knew was in the Army.
Right.
Didn't bring up nothing. I shot with him for years. And I just thought the guy was a damn natural shooter. I met his brother, and he goes, "Oh, you know Frankie?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've been shooting with Frankie." He said, "You know, he was an instructor at Green Beret School."
You're like,
"What?" Yeah. I didn't know that, but I believe it. Anyhow, Frankie did this. It was a match called Friday Night Fights, and it was in a shoot house. And it was
night before.
And I've talked about it. So anyway, he was the RO, and it was very you know, if you had a door, you had to go in the door. You had to do a dynamic entry as your man one of a 4-man stack, and you have to be moving and or shooting, but you can't stop. You can't stand and shoot. You have to be moving and shooting. Now, if you come to a doorway, pie the corner.
Right.
You come to a door, it's a dynamic entry. And you couldn't run your light for more than 3 seconds at a time, or you got a procedural. He had a very, very well put together match. And I remember.
Yeah, that sounds like fun already.
Oh, it was amazing. I did about four with my GoPro on my head and filmed it. And it was probably, the shoot house was probably 20 rounds, 25, 30 rounds.
Right.
It changed every week.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember I showed up first time, and I'm, you know, it's right outside of Bragg. It's a bunch of Army dogs. I got my Marine Corps t-shirt on, you know, and I'm talking.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Fuck with these guys. All in fun, though. We're all brothers in
arms. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're talking shit. And I shoot the match, and I come in like 12th out of like 30 people, which wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But like, I would say 10 of those people were probably the first time they'd ever shot a gun. So, you know, I was middle of the pack.
Right.
And I remember I was kind of bummed because I thought I did great because I had no real procedurals. I didn't fuck up. And I'm leaving. I kind of got, you know, my bottom lip poked out because I did way worse than I thought I would. And Frankie sees me. He's like, "Hunter, what's up, man? You know, what's the deal?" I'm like, "Oh, you know, thought I was going to do better." He said, "You were in the military?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I was in the Marine Corps." He said, "When'd you get out?" I said, "1996. And this was probably 6'8". I'm going to lie to you. This was 10 years ago, 12 years
okay.
ago. And Frankie's like, when'd you get out? I said, 96. He goes, oh, that was 18 years ago. I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, Hunter, it shows. You need to pump class. And I'm like, what? I'm like, man, all we did in the Marines is train. He goes, yeah. He said, your techniques are great. They are great for 20 years ago.
Right.
He said, but you have no idea what's changed.
Yeah, you've got to evolve. You've got to keep learning. You've got to keep adjusting.
And I started taking his classes, man. And I'm like, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
What he knew, what this man taught me. I was like, yeah. I'm basing this off the training that I got. Now, you know, when I got in the Marines, I took a couple classes here and there. But
sure.
I never got serious until I learned, man, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
No, I can think of the few times like when I've known I've been shooting with police officers, particularly military guys. I don't give a shit. They can say they are in whatever branch of service, and it's like, cool, bro. That means absolutely nothing because we're here at this competition. You shoot well, it's because you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You want to shoot well, you know, because if you're a general infantryman, that doesn't mean you know shit how to run this thing fast and efficient and accurately.
Right.
Because you don't use these things.
Right.
You know? So if you know it, it's because you choose to learn it and you choose to know it. And that's awesome. More props to you. But cops, this is their primary thing. And so I'll say the cops I've shot with were actually had a pretty good guy. Didn't have a chip on their shoulder because they would shoot. And I'd be the guy that would go, because I was like running these matches. We do weekly matches at a local range. And these cops would shoot. I'm like, fucking cops. And they're like, what? I was like, you heard me. Fucking cops. You guys can't shoot for shit. Oh, we know, man. We know. We don't get out the train. I'm like, well, I'm glad you guys are here because you're getting better. I can see that you're getting better. I was like, the fuck do I know? I have no idea. I'm some late 20s, early 30s kid who's just shooting all the damn time. I was like, yeah, you guys don't know shit. But then you come across the ones that do shoot. I'm like, I'll call them out too. I'm like, dude, you can shoot. And almost all of them have the same story. And they go, yeah, I got marksman that one time and I was hooked.
Yeah.
I keep it up. So I keep training and I come shoot with you guys and have fun. And it's like, hell yeah, man. But because also they kind of became gun guys at that point, you know, and I get it. Not every cop's gonna be a gun guy. I get it. But goddamn, they should be really, really, really proficient with a pistol.
I think far more than what, you know, I've heard about what the qual is for police officers,
which is varied all over the place too. But yeah, it's
I don't know that it's that heavy duty.
I don't think it is either.
I qualed expert in the Marine Corps with M16A2 and a handgun. So, you know, I mean, which that's not an amazing accomplishment. That's a good baseline.
Right.
But it's still square range.
Right.
You know, it's still square range. We did a lot of dynamic training with shoot houses and all, but that was pass fail.
Right.
You know, that was.
I was thinking, you had my thought on a tangent earlier, too. When we were talking about, you know, the dynamics of getting into a firefight to degree. The only thing I can say I've done besides like paintball and airsoft shit was at a high range day. I took a class from Rogue Methods. We did a close contact gunfighter. At the end of the day, we had headgear on, had semi-munition pistols, or we could get to a semi-munition pistol. And I dove for that gun, grabbed that gun, fucking rolled up on my dude, my partner, shooting him. I know I like started looking at his thigh and walked shots up just because of where I was on the ground and him charging me. Do I know how many shots I fired at him? I have a fucking clue, dude. I
have no idea.
If you'd asked me, I'd say probably 3, but I bet it's probably more like 5 to 8.
Right.
You know, because it was just like the instinct of I was holding him and I was losing my energy. Like I was literally just petering out and I was like, okay. I saw this twinkle of the gun. I'm going to give him a last final shove, get him off of me, make room. That was the whole point of the class. They want to teach us to control the room of a combatant. I make room off of him. I dove for the fucking gun and rolled over and it was like on my side, on his shoulder, and just went wah, 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 and just opened fire on his ass, you know. But do I have any idea how many rounds? Not the slightest clue.
But you were effective.
I'd like to think so. I mean,
here's the deal, Dave. If that was a real life scenario and you got this cat off you and you got you shot him in the thigh one time with a 9mm. I mean, is he going to be like, oh, well, fuck, I'm going to keep kicking your ass? He's going to go, right. Damn, he just perforated my thigh.
And that cool. And that was the fun thing in our class. The first guys that fought in a pair like that and got a gun and got shots off, they like stopped. And our instructor, though, he goes, why'd you stop? He's like, well, I shot him. He's like, do you know those rounds stopped him? You're on time. You're supposed to fight for, I don't know if it was like, I think a minute maybe. He's like, or 45 seconds to a minute. He's like, keep fighting.
Dude, and here's what, now, not that I'm an athlete, but here's what I don't think people understand. To fight another man for a fucking minute for your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, it could have been 45 seconds, but still 45 seconds to 60 seconds.
But to go a minute, I mean, to
the
go.
The fact that you actually are doing that, and it's like you getting a gun and putting rounds on a dude. If you did that in 10 seconds in, you still keep fighting, though. You have to go off the idea of those rounds didn't stop him, and now he's coming for your gun, and you got to fight for control. And, yeah, you're doing that for 45 seconds to 60 seconds.
And that's
– it's an eternity.
Takes a lot of wind
yeah.
to fight a man for a minute.
And I'm pretty sure – did we do all three fights back to back to back? I think we did.
You'd want a break. Because, I mean, to go at somebody's ass wide open for a fucking 60 seconds – and I've done it. I mean, I've – you know, I wouldn't
say we'd go wide open because like we weren't allowed to do any striking. There's no striking involved. It was all controlled, like head push.
Yeah, but still, that required
arm presses. It certainly did. I mean, we were all really exhausted.
Your chest, you know,
we were all exhausted.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I would do it again in a heartbeat. A whole class with this guy. It was awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like a damn good class.
But exhausting. The point it made me think I need to do more cardio. You know, do before I take his class because otherwise I won't last. This is like an appetizer class. I did Ohio Range Day.
Right. Yeah, we all need. I need to do more cardio. But
oh my god,
I'm thinking cardio, carry a third magazine. Fuck it, I'm gonna carry the third magazine and have the extra beer.
Well, that's. I don't know if I told you this not before, but that's what we talked about. It was like, you know, we had our partners come at us, and it was like, well, wait a minute, why wouldn't I just shoot him right away? And he was like, well, you could do that. And he goes, I'm about giving you options. What if there's some reason you can't get to your gun? Maybe he got up on you faster than you realized. He goes, or maybe you just think, he goes, you know, it's like this. He goes, if I'm with my family, he goes, I'm going to draw and shoot the motherfucker. He goes, if it's just me, I'm going to give a quick millisecond to size him up and go, I can throw this guy to the ground. And there's no need to shoot him and go into that whole next level that your life is now changing. You know, so that was his whole concept. I'm just giving you options. It was like, I get that. That's interesting. That's cool. So that's why he wanted to teach us how to control somebody, control their hands are, and make room. I get it. It's totally cool.
The Friday,
otherwise, yeah, I'm going to carry extra rounds and just blow your ass away.
The Friday night fights was Frankie would always say, this is, if you're at home and a home invasion happens and you're not alone. He's like,
right.
If you live alone and somebody kicks your front door in, he said, your ass better be going out the back door. He said, but if you're home and somebody kicks your front door in and your wife and daughter's there,
right?
He said, we're going to shoot. Because what we would do is we would shoot the match. Then after the match, he would go over with you what you did right and what you did wrong.
That's cool. That's
and
cool.
And you would walk like you're done. You shot your match. And you would go back to start, and he would go, okay, here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong. And then they had a big old notebook. And so right. When you're like, I'm ready for a class, Frankie's like, here's your strong points, here's your weak points. I've got Hunter Elliott right here at the page.
Right.
This is where you did good, this is where you did bad. And he kept all that shit in a journal about who's strong points and weak points. And so, like, me and some friends of mine showed up for a class, and he worked on all. We all had, like, even if we all three had different weak points, we were all assigned those weak points.
Right.
So he's like, okay, you got some strong points here. We're going to spend 20 minutes just working on your strong points. The next 2 hours, we're working on your weak points. And, you know, and I'm like, well, Frankie, you know, going in dynamic is not a weak point for me. He goes, yeah, but your buddy is. So we're all training together.
Right.
So, you know, he would always bring the class down to the lowest common denominator, and you'd work right from there.
Right.
Based off of your performance in them. And they were amazing classes. And the guy,
dude, that sounds entertaining as fuck. Like, seriously.
There was a couple classes I took with Frankie. Not a single round was fired.
Right.
You would clear an empty house with an empty gun.
Right.
And or he'd give you a blue gun, and right, you'd go into a room clearing a blue gun, and he'd be standing there watching. He'd say, ignore me. Clear this room. I'm watching you.
Yeah. And no, that's cool. That'd be entertaining. That'd be beyond entertaining. I would dig the shit out of that.
He retired and moved to fucking Florida.
Wow.
Sold the range.
Hey, good for him.
Yeah, I know, but.
But yeah, that's a bummer.
Like that.
That's a bummer. Like, that guy didn't have, like, somebody else to continue on what he was doing.
He sold the range, I think, to his RO, which has continued everything, probably to the equal standard, knowing Frankie. And I knew the RO, and the RO was a good shooter, too, Destry.
Right.
So, I'm sure it's still up to the high standards that it used to be. But, you know, Frankie McCray, legendary shooter, man, legendary instructor.
That's cool.
So,
well, let's wrap us up. We've been on here for now. Well, it says 1:43, but we obviously have some shit we can edit out from Step Away From Camera and stuff.
I bet it's still 1.5 hours.
Probably. And it's funny, as I'm looking at this, like, you know, build drills. We talked about that. I really want to do semi sort of a deep dive onto you, because I know this is right up your alley, is cosmic horror.
Oh, yeah.
But my focus is primarily on film, movies, because I don't read that much. And I actually had an idea, even a cover graphic, if we covered cosmic horror. So I guess I'll have to save this for another bloody time.
Yeah, that brought my knife out to talk about that.
I know. Well, that's, like I said, I can't remember if I brought this thing up last week or not.
You brought that out, but we were talking about carry knives.
Right.
And I'm like, and this is my buck that I carry.
Oh, yeah, like the cleaver edge almost.
Yeah, but, I mean, time's up. Well, it gets us more shit to talk about next week.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. We're trying to hit on some of the other things. Like I said, I don't care if the shit compounds, because I don't want this to be this super structured, here's our talking points for this week.
Right.
It's literally, it's having a conversation and talking about shit. That's all it is.
I think this is one of our better ones. Myself. You disagree or no?
No, I think.
Okay.
Fucking douchebag on the internet.
Well, I know, but I mean,
who cares?
But
at that point, yeah, let's wrap it from there. So, where do people find you, man? Where are you at?
RageHot.com, baby.
Nice. And I can happily say I have my pitiful little website. It is live. I'm gonna make sure I double check I have it right.
It's not bad at all, Dave. You should be proud of that.
You know, it's funny. FireMedia.com. Yeah, live-firemedia.com, and has all my other social links there. You can find me there. Yeah, no, it's beyond stupid simple website, because you know what? As much as I can do photography and graphic design, web design is not my fucking area, and I'm okay with that. So, till next time, people. Peace.
I'll leave you with one thing.
Go for it.
Look what I dug out of my fucking nose. I mean, look at that.